you. One of the things I discovered when I was trying to prepare for this talk was that my life is not conducive to preparing for anything. And there's just, it's so difficult to be organized. I have this great plan in my life that, and I have this list righteousness that everything is going to go the way I planned it to go in the morning. And I picked the week of spring break to work the hardest on this, which was probably the dumbest thing I could have done because all of my kids were home. So again, I just feel like God has brought me to a point of recognizing that He is going to do what He's going to do in my life, whether it's the opportunity to share what He's done or each day as I face it with my kids. So I'm really excited to share through Ephesians 6. When Tracy told me that the theme of this weekend was fighting for your family, I'm so intimately aware of that and have walked that, truly fighting for my family, and still do. I think each in our circumstances find that we need to fight valiantly, courageously, and relentlessly for our families. And I want to start with the first verse in Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 11. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. One of the things, I would love to be armor of God. I'm an army brat. I like all that military stuff. I love that God's fighting our battles for us. And when I was fighting for my marriage, and my husband was still at home, he was in the middle of an affair. And so it was a very hard time in my life. I did not want my kids to know about it because I really hoped we would be reconciled and they would never have to know unless we chose to share with them when they were much older. So God was my refuge and my strength during that time. I was always in His Word. And because I didn't want to just cope with my circumstances. I wanted hope. I wanted to know that I was going to get to the other side. And I wanted to honor God however I could. And it's not like I'm just some super spiritual godly woman. It was totally the grace of God that brought me to that point. But when I have looked at Ephesians, I sort of skipped that be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power part. I don't know if I just figured it was a given that we had to be strong in the Lord. Kind of went right to that armor. I liked all the imagery of it. And what I discovered when I studied this a little bit more, I started thinking about that under armor, that gear to throw under your athletic stuff, kind of makes you feel like a superhero. That sort of looks really good. But they wear it under military stuff, and law enforcement officers wear it. And I thought I Googled it to see what it was. And it said it keeps you cool when you need to be cool, it keeps you warm when you need to be warm. It keeps you dry when you need to be dry. It keeps you comfortable, and it helps you to perform at your optimum all day long, your peak. And I thought that is exactly what God's strength does for us. And that's why we need it under our armor, because that's what gives us the power to face each day, to perform at our peak throughout the day. And I loved this Matthew Henry quote. It said, "Let a soldier be ever so well armed without. If he have not within a good heart, his armor will stand in little stead." And this strong in the Lord is kind of our inner strength that we get because of who He is in our lives. Yes. And I love the next part of that verse that talks about the full armor of God. I have a terrible time putting outfits together. And I just have absolutely no fashion sense whatsoever. And I have a 15-year-old daughter who confirms that for me constantly. She sounds like, "Mom, no." And I was like, "Hey, babe, I'm like 30 years older than you. I cannot wear what you wear to look good." I was like, "Oh, ridiculous." So when I was reading this, I was thinking about how God prepares that armor for us. He's prepared it and gives it to us. And what a blessing that is, because if I prepared my own armor, going through that armor, I was thinking, the belt would be really frayed because all my belts are really frayed and tight. And my breastplate would probably be dented, and my shoes would be Dollar Tree flip-flops, and my shield would be cardboard and maybe with a little bit of tin foil on it, just, have some length. And my helmet would be a ball cap, and my sword would probably be a toothpick. And I would be woefully equipped for whatever laid ahead of the day. So I'm so grateful that He prepares the armor for me. And one of the things that I love in these verses, it talks about stand. And when you, can you click it again? I'm sorry. This is my first time doing a PowerPoint presentation, and you will notice that. Where it says, stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. Oh, excuse me. I'm sorry. See, told you. He talks about standing. I guess it was in the previous slide. Let me just read it for you real quick. He says to stand and then stand. It's kind of like just he reiterates it for us. Please forgive me. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil beautiful day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore. Three times he tells us to stand. And the way I view it is kind of like that. Take your position and stand ground with your families. Take our position in the Lord, who we are, and then stand our ground against the assaults that come against our family. And I, when I was going through this first year of everything within my family, and the story of the Israelites at the Red Sea, or their exodus, was, I just found myself, I always find, like, you know, Israelites, we can always identify with them, and I don't necessarily mean that in a good way, because, you know, they go back and forth so much. And when they are standing at the Red Sea after having escaped Egypt, and they have the mountains on either side of them, and the Red Sea in front of them, and the Egyptians are fast approaching from behind, and they're totally freaking out, which is what I would absolutely do. I tend towards the freak out. And God has already shown himself so faithful to them throughout this whole process. And they still have such difficulty trusting him. And God gives the words to Moses. He said, and Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent. That verse just so blessed me, because everything in my life seemed like such a God-sized task. I could not convince this man to stay with me and my five kids. I couldn't understand why. And everything just seemed so out of control. And that so blessed me that God was going to fight for me. And what I was dealing with today, I was not going to deal with it. God was going to deal with it. I just to stand still and be quiet, which is so difficult for me. I want a constant update on what's going on. I want, you know, I'll give it to God, but I would like some memos, you know, kind of like where we're headed, guesstimate about when we're going to arrive, maybe what other transportation we're taking to get there. And so, you know, he never gives that to me. But when I was studying this, we went to church, my kids and I, one Sunday, and we had a guest pastor come to preach. And he was preaching on this passage. And I was really excited to hear what he had to say. And he talked about how in Scripture it says that the sea was parted by an east wind. And if you look at a map, an east wind is the other shore, that the water was parted towards the Israelites. Now, it's not like in the movies where Moses, I use my hands a lot, so I don't know how this is going to work, but where he, you know, he raises his hand and the water parts before them and they see the pathway appear. God parted it from the other bank. He brought it to them. And I'm so excited by that. We left church and I'm like, guys, do you know how cool that is? That God's already planning our rescue before we even know we need it. Like, he's already working something out for our family right now. He's going to do something awesome, and he's going to bring us through it. He's making a way. You know, kids are like, oh, yeah, Mom, that's going to be nuts. And I'm always doing that with my kids. They're like, okay. But what struck me is that's what God does with all of our lives. That's the salvation plan. At the beginning of time, God had made a way before we even knew a way. That's so like him, that he's just doing it for us. So the first piece of armor is the belt of truth, kind of which pulls the whole outfit together, keeps the pants up. And it also, a lot of times warriors carry some of their equipment. So it equips them to move ahead. And I was thinking about this whole truth thing. One of the things I struggle with is feeling like a failure in so many things. And I think, when my marriage fell apart, my identity was so wrapped up in being a wife, and all of a sudden I wasn't a wife anymore. I was divorced. The big D, you know. I felt like I had a D down here, and a D here, and a D everywhere. And, you know, I wasn't a homeschooling mom anymore. I was a working mom. I was a single mom. Never thought I'd be a single mom. And just the labels I put on myself, and most of them were negative. That is not how God sees us. And I purposed to find out how God sees me, because I was just felt like I was going down into a really bad place. Can you play it two more times? There, I'm sorry, I know this is a busy slide. These are some of the things God says about who we are because of him. And I'm so blessed to read these things. I know for me, I love that I'm more than a conqueror, because seriously, like, what is more than a conqueror? I mean, really, if you think about that, really grasp that, you're already the winner. What does that look like? It's because we have Jesus. We have more than just eternal life. We have the blessing of living life with him. When I am back in Virginia, I have a teenage girls Bible study at my house. My daughter is gracious enough to let me lead one and not rollerize too much. But we went through this, and I asked the girls to tell me what were some of the ones that really spoke to them. And my daughter shared that she's precious in God's eyes, really spoke to her, which just totally blessed me and broke me all at the same time, because she really struggles with our family situation and having her dad left when she was 11. But is there anything that would like to share, one that particularly ministers to them or has blessed them in their life? Anybody got for it? Yeah.
I like the bottom one on the far right that says, afflicted in every way but not crushed, because that tells me that no matter what I'm going through, no matter how difficult it looks, like you were talking about to the Israelites, that I know God's got me.
Yeah. I love that one too. Thank you for sharing. Appreciate that. The next piece of armor is the breastplate of righteousness. And when I was kind of, at first I was like, oh, it'd be really cool if I could figure out, like, a piece of clothing that we wear that would, you know, match each piece of armor, and I could, like, have somebody put them on or whatever. And my brilliant idea for breastplate of righteousness was a bra. So I went on to office.com, you know, to find a free image of a brassiere, but they don't have any. And so then for like a split second, I was like, oh, I'll just Google bra images. And then I was like, no, probably shouldn't do that. It's like, that would be really bad. But the breastplate was designed to protect your heart. It doesn't protect your back. It protects your heart, because God wants us to stand and not flee. And I thought that was really cool. And it's our righteousness is our right standing with God. And one of the things I have, and I alluded to it earlier, is to-do list righteousness. You know, I think we probably a lot of you struggle with that too. Just, I want to know that I accomplished something at the end of the day. I feel valuable by what I do so often, and it's exactly what Tracy was talking about. You know, we want to do so much to find out who we are, and who we are is because of who Christ is. It's not about what I've done or what I did or what I'm going to do or what I'm doing. It's all about what Christ has already done for us. We are righteous because he's righteous, because of what he did for us. So this is my ministry. This is my youngest daughter, Allison. She's 5, and she's a complete goofball. I had to put weird pictures of her. He's like, really, Mom, could you put up like really pretty pictures of all of us? And I was like, I'm nervous, what you really like? So this is my youngest daughter, Allison. We adopted her through foster care. And this is my oldest, Zachary. He's 18. He's at Regent University in Virginia Beach. And you know how Danae was, Dana, thank you. Dana was talking about her good son. That's mine. I have one out of five. That's my daughter, Emma, my 15-year-old, and she's just gorgeous, and I really wish she wasn't. And this is my son, Peter. He's 12. He's my tender warrior who wants to save the world. He's definitely a middle child, right? Dead center. And then this little one up here is Elizabeth. She's my 6-year-old, also adopted through foster care. She and Allison are full sisters, and they're my twister sisters. Exceedingly spicy. sometimes sweet. Do you mind looking at it again? This is my whole family. This is our church picture, and you can see Allison's face. I don't know if you can see that very well. We had a really nice picture of all of us smiling in it, and the photographer for church is a friend of our family. He took two pictures, this one and one where we're actually all smiling with like a normal family, and that's the one he put in the church directory. He was like, well, I really wanted everybody to see what your family was really like. Building up, and that's last of my guinea pig. And if anybody would like a guinea pig, he comes with a cage. And all of his sisters, I will ship him to you. We actually joke that he's bionic, because the first time I let Allison hold him, you know, I let her hold him, and then I moved out of the room, which was unwise. And she took him into the bathroom, and I found her in there squeezing him over the toilet to try and make it poop. He did. He survived. That was like 2 years ago. He's still alive. I don't really understand. But he's awesome. But I joke. I guess it was a year that everything happened in our family. We were kind of running a little bit late for church, which is really unusual for our family. My little girls, I was taking them to nursery. They were 2 and 3 at the time. And one of them had no shoes on, and one had mismatched different sizes, different colored flip-flops on. And we were just, I was like, you know, running in. And this young mom at church came up, and she's like, I just love you. You make me feel so much better about being a mother.
During that time, I shared earlier, I was really in the Lord. I really knew there was
I did try and talk a lot to him, which was not useful, but I was in the Lord a lot, and it was my comfort, it was my strength. But I will say that during that time, although my faith was strong, and I was in the, God was giving me grace to walk through this circumstance, I think my faith was more based on really wanting to be blessed. I really wanted to be reconciled. I really wanted my husband to repent and for it to work out the way I thought it should. And I thought in my head there was like, it was a gift. It was God's will that we, you know, my marriage not end. And I thought if I walk in a manner worthy of my calling, if I am above reproach in everything, surely this will work out for me. And what God showed me was that that cannot be the basis of my faith. My faith has to be about the fact that I love him and I trust him, regardless of what's going on in my life. It can't be about a blessing. Because if my faith is based on receiving a blessing, when things go south, which they will in all of our lives, we will have trials and temptations and struggles. And when that happens, if my faith is based on God blessing me in the way I want to be blessed, it will get very wobbly. And it will be very difficult to move forward confidently. And I was so grateful that he showed that to me. It was definitely a paradigm shift for me. Because we did move forward and things did dissolve and they did fall apart and it was all yucky and nasty and messy. But because my focus was now on that I love you, God, and I trust you. And even if the blessing doesn't look like the blessing I want, I'll accept it. And he did bring me to a really beautiful place now. It's still hard and challenging. And I started thinking about those fiery darts and arrows that we as moms have every day. And I'm not sure. These are kind of mine. Some from the past, obviously, and some from now. And I was thinking about the fact that I always feel like I'm not enough, especially as a single mom with five kids. And I'm sure all of you feel that way, at different places in your life. Just feel like, I cannot possibly do everything I need to do. I can't get it done. I can't. Mentally, I'm like, most of the time. And just feeling like I'm failing over and over and over again. My big one is, I feel like I struggle with the same things over and over again. And I really have to catch myself because I know it's not true that God is going to be like, you know what? Really? Again? He's never like that, but it's somehow never I act like he is. Even though I don't believe it, I still act like I think he is that way. And I wanted to be able to go back to that slide about our identity in Christ again. Just like keep jumping back to that slide. Every time I was planning this talk, I was thinking about how all this armor is so intertwined. And that's why he says to put the full armor on. Because, we wouldn't go out with just our shirt on. Go out with just our shoes on. We need all of this armor, and it all works together to bring us to where we need to be. So just a reminder that failure is not an option of faith, because God is going to bring us through where he wants us to be. And I love that about the second year, my first year of really being a single mom, someone asked me to co-lead a precept study on Hebrews, which was a really awesome study, but very difficult. And this is one of the verses that particularly blessed me. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming will come, and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. I love that, because it's kind of like a battle cry. Don't you feel like, but we are not alone? Don't you? Some like cool military movie? Nah, I can't pull it off, but I love that. I love that verse, because so often I do just want to cocoon, just go in my closet, shut the door, curl up in a ball, and pretend that this is not my life. And I've done that, then like face in the carpet, God, really, I can't, there's no way I can do this life that you've given me. But I have faith, and I know that God's going to bring me through to the other side. And the ending will be sweet. I know it. I just thought this was really funny. And true. Every once in a while, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm brave. looking at each other, and the next day, my 15-year-old daughter would be like, I knew what that was all about, Mom.
Yeah.
Well, just, if everybody would just obey, we wouldn't have that day. I'm just saying. Don't we just normally think about it like our hearts? And I think it's because our heads need to be involved in preaching the gospel to ourselves every day, that we're saved by grace through faith in Christ alone. That it's not about what we do, it is about Him. And my struggle, what I often struggle with, is I can take my eyes off of Christ in a heartbeat and put them on my circumstances. And when I do that, my circumstances become huge. In my eyes. But if I can keep my focus on Christ, He is huge in my eyes. And I would much rather my Savior be huge than my circumstances. The other thing about this salvation is that it is a gospel of hope. It is an eternal perspective on life. And that's one of those things where God has brought me through this difficult circumstance, is having an eternal perspective. I think I always thought that heaven was kind of like I knew I was going to go there, you know, I just didn't really think about it a whole lot. It was sort of like that vacation, you know, I'm looking forward to someday I'm going to get to take. And going through this really difficult time in my life brought me to understand that that is going to happen. I am going to be there. And there was such hope in that, such a blessedness. And my kids, whenever there's like a really glorious sky or a beautiful sunset or something, I'm always like, hey, doesn't that look like the perfect sky for Jesus to come back in? Yeah. And my kids are like, no, we want to. I was like, no, I want to be a Navy SEAL. No, I want to get married and have kids. No, I want to get a hammock. But I think of, I often talk about this earthly life sort of being like a 24-hour flu life. You know, it's hard. And you know you're going to get through it, and there's going to be something cool. You know, you're going to do great afterwards. But it is really difficult to get through. So I just love having that eternal perspective. And I love this John Piper quote. Biblical hope not only desires something good for the future, it expects it to happen. And it not only expects it to happen, it is confident that it will happen. There is just a gloriousness about walking through this life with hope, that something really great is going to happen for us. So that's why I say we're going to have a happy ending, you know, regardless. I'm going to, even if my marriage fell apart, I'm going to have a happy ending. It's God's happy ending for me. And yeah, that was just me. And the sad thing is this. I took that picture, and 45 minutes later, there were two more baskets of laundry on top of that, and I will kid you not, but I'm trying to train my children to be helpful. And my daughter is in charge of the kitchen and the dishes, and my son is in charge of the laundry, and they volunteer. I was like, what do you guys want to be in charge of? So I just keep piling it up and waiting for my 12-year-old to notice that there's a lot of laundry that needs to be sorted. It's not working. But he's pretty funny. The other day, he did end up folding all of that, and it took forever. And I was like, maybe, you know, if you did it like one at a time, it's like 5 minutes, not 2 hours. So, anyway. And then, well, he's also funny. This has nothing to do with this talk, but he's really funny, too, because he'll sort everything, you know, get it all nice, and then he'll throw it on the floor in everybody's bedroom. I was like, did you really just spend 2 hours folding everything and throw it in the bedroom? Anyway. The next piece of armor is the sword of the Spirit, which is our only offensive weapon. The word helps us fight the enemy, fight all of those fears and failures and all the difficult things that come against us. And in Nehemiah, they're building the wall around Jerusalem. And this verse is, I just think, really cool and very applicable to our lives. Those who carried burdens were loaded in such a way that each labored on the work with one hand and held his weapon with the other. And isn't that just a picture of how we should be as moms? That we are moving forward, we're carrying the burdens that we need to, not the ones we don't. We walk forward, we do our work, but we have the Word of God with us. And we are prepared to face whatever comes our way because we know who we are in Christ. And the last part of the scripture is, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. When I was When I was going through this difficult time, I think I really learned what pray without ceasing meant. You know, I think it's living with an attitude of prayer. You know, of course, there's no way we could absolutely walk around praying constantly. Certainly not verbally. Everybody think we're crazy, since everybody already thinks I'm crazy. We shouldn't do that. But when we go to God's word about prayer, we can see that He wants us to pray always and anywhere about anything and everything, and steadfastly and with thanksgiving. And I really liked that Tracy talked about Philippians 4, 6, 7 last night, because that was my mantra verse for a really long time. And the part of it that I focused on was the do not be anxious about anything part. And I was a very anxious young mom. I'm kind of an old mom now, but I was a young mom at one point. And then 9/11 happened, and it like totally blew my mind, because I thought there's no way I can protect my kids from every eventuality. I don't even know what they are anymore. There's so many. And I realized that I had to decide if I wanted to be a fearful mom who raised fearful children, or I wanted to be a mom who trusted God, raised children who trusted God. And going through this difficult season of my life, you know, I never thought would happen, but, you know, it's one of those nightmares you think, I could never bear that, I could never make it through that, but God brought me through that. That was something I was anxious about, but He brought me through it. He showed me how to be thankful in the midst of it. So now, I can focus more on the, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, because I know that He's going to bless me, regardless of what's happening in my life. He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my kids. He loves my children more than I can even imagine, which blows my mind, because I love them so much. The next one. So this is my prayer life. The first year of my family's implosion, my prayer life was pretty strong. I would say I was a pretty good prayer warrior of that year. And then the second year happened, and I was a single mom with five kids. I was working full time. My youngest was 2, the next one was 3, and I had 2 toddlers and 2 teenagers, which was not a good situation. And then I had that middle child thrown in just for fun. It was just a really hard time in life. I was very tired and very overwhelmed by everything. And my life became, seriously? I think for a year, that's the only thing I said to God. Seriously? Really? This is the plan for my kids? This is the plan for me? I don't get it. I didn't lose my faith at any point, but I just really felt like I didn't understand what God's, how God could find, could make good out of this, how this was gonna eventually be good for my kids. I just couldn't understand that. And God brought me to a place of really on my knees, because during that year I also really struggled with being kind of rebellious in my heart towards God, in my head, definitely. It was kind of like, well, I did it right. You know, I did it all right for 40-something years, and this happened. So maybe, you know, I would like some comfort. I would like to, I just would like somebody to come in and rescue me from this. You know, could there be a man that could just want to be an instant father of 5? I'm sure there's something out there. And I just was looking for him, you know, I just really struggled with that, and at one point, I was talking to my prayer partner about my heart, and, you know, kind of like what I was willing to do, and she, like, got right up in my face, and she's like, if you do that, I will kill you. I was like, oh, okay, thanks. Maybe pray for me to be better, but it did get my attention, and I prayed a lot that God would change my heart, but what it did for me was show me where my heart was. And show me how much I needed God. And show me that it was more about Him than it was about me and my plans and what I deemed as good. That His good was infinitely better than mine, even if our definitions were slightly different on what that looked like in my life. And the blessing of that also is that God gave me a measure of compassion for my ex-husband to recognize that he struggled with sin and didn't get grace, didn't grasp it for himself. And that was heartbreaking. And being able to get to a point of having some compassion for his plight as a sinner in need of a Savior, like we all are, I was able to get to a point of forgiving him, which was the point of being able to really heal and really become, or begin becoming, the woman God has designed me to be. So then my prayer life has become more about, thank you so much, God, please forgive me again, I'm trusting that He will forgive me again. And there's a lot of Father helps in there too. And Father, please. children, but the difference is trusting him and not questioning so much, but resting a little bit more, abiding, being, like Tracy was talking about. Can you skip to the next one? The last part of the scripture is, with this in mind, to be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. And I thought about how this, so much of this is about us putting all our armor on and praying. And this is about praying for God's people. And that's my prayer partner, Jo. And she has just been such a blessing to me. And I want to encourage you to find somebody that you can pray with and be vulnerable with and be honest with, kind of like Danae. Why can't I say her name now? Dana, thank you. Was talking about, you know, somebody that we can confess to, that we can be truly honest with about what we're struggling with, who's willing to pray with us and love us through it. And she has done that for me. Just a huge blessing in my life. And I loved this quote. I just found this recently. It says, "The great people of the earth are the people who pray. I do not mean those who talk about prayer, not those who say they believe in prayer, nor yet those who can explain about prayer, but I mean those people who take time and pray. They have not time, they must be taken from something else. This something else is important, very important and pressing, but still less important and pressing than prayer." And God has shown me so much these past 4 years that prayer is the answer. I know it sounds, we were talking about last night at our single moms table, that, you know, sometimes it can sound like Christianese, you know, like the trite, simple answer. You know, you just need to spend more time in the Word and pray. But it's true. It's true. It sounds simple, and we want to marginalize it, but it's true, and it is the strength and the power and everything we need to move forward in our life with victory in Christ. And God continually shows that to me, and I think I struggle with it still. I have moments of grandeur where I actually do really spend time with the Lord, and I had a couple weeks ago where I just did not have an ability. I was in a really hard time. I was struggling. My kids are definitely all going through difficult times, and you know, having children in all these different stages is challenging. I'm sure there are others of you out there. You're just trying to keep up with everybody, and there's always seems to be a new problem each day. And I was having a bad week, and one of my friends was like, "Hey, have you spent any time really in the Word?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, I'm in it all the time. I'm writing about it all the time." And she was like, "How much have you read it?" And I was like, "Not very much. You know, I think he said it last night, I'm using it as a reference material. You know, it's, I'm looking at a verse and thinking, yeah, there's that verse about that thing. It's like halfway down the page on the right side. If I flip, I can find it silent. You know, that's not Bible study. What I need to do is get my mind in there and really focus on who I am because of Christ and whose I am. And then I get that perspective change and I can face the world a little better and I have some wisdom to raise my children well. So just to kind of sum it all up, the whole armor of God, we have the under armor of God's strength, that thing that gives us the ability to put all that armor on and be victorious. We have the truth of who we are in Christ. We have the righteousness of Christ, not what we've done, but what he's done. Not what we're due, but what he's done. Not what we're going to do, but what he's done. We have the gospel of peace to protect us and enable us to move forward boldly and confidently. We have faith that protects us from the attacks that Satan lobs against us constantly. And we have the Word of God, which is our weapon and the only one that we need when we face things. Do you see how really beautifully all of those things are intertwined? And how awesome and beautiful it is because God has built us to be warrior women and equipped us to do it. We don't just have to be wilting flowers. We can be strong warrior women. We can be quiet and gentle spirits who have the heart of warriors as we face what God has allowed to come into our lives and help and enable us to become the women he's designed us to be. So thank you so much for coming in and listening to my story. Does anybody have any questions or want to share anything? Guys, so quiet. Did everybody get such things as I did last night?
Oh my gosh.
I want to go home more tired. Thank you so very much, Lord, that you equip us for the life that you've given us, God. Thank you so much that Christ died for us, Father. Before we even knew we needed a Savior, you had a plan to save us. Thank you, Father, that you have given us beautiful children, Lord, that we can love and raise up in the nurture and admiration of you. And please give us a vision for how you would have us do that. Please love our children through us, Father. Help us to be the women you designed us to be, Father. Help us to rely on you and be strong in you, not in our own strength, but in your strength. Help us each day to put on that armor that you've given us, to put on faith, to put on Christ's righteousness, to know the gospel of peace, and that it is our gospel, to have faith, God, that you will protect us and guide us, and to have your word in our hearts and in our minds, Father, that we might not sin against you. And I pray, Father, that we will be prayer warriors for our family, God, that we will march on our knees for our children and our families. And I pray all this in Jesus' name.